Gemara speaks over there about the different Tovim, about the different Yom HaHidim, the different holidays the Goyim had. And it says the Yom Paglachas and Avar Shavuot, different religious holidays that they had. And then Gemara adds a very eerie thing. Omer Yehuda Mashmo. Oy da Feres Yisrael Beroimus. There's one more holiday, one more celebration they have in Rome. Once in 70 years, they take a person who is able-bodied, and they put him on to a crippled person. In other words, they piggyback him on somebody who's limping. And they dress up that person on top, an able-bodied person, with Adam Arishan's clothing. Like we'll see later on, Rabbi Shmuel's, it had been skinned and his face mask was preserved because it was so aristocratic and so magnificent. They dress him up with the mask of Rabbi Shmuel's, of the scalp of the face. They put on a big diamond on him, and they scatter gems on the road that he's going to take on the marketplace. And they call out, "Sach kiri plasta achua de marna zaytona." Mahani liramov ram usayt zaytona zaytonisa. They proclaim, the brother of our master Esav is a liar. In other words, the chiga, the limping person, represents Yaakov, who was limping. Esav is the able-bodied person dressed in the begadim, big yachamudos, like it says over there, that he gave him the begadim, that he took the begadim, the big yachamudos. And so the Romans say, Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov is a liar. We've proven it, that he's forged. In other words, the brachas that he took wrongfully from Esav are ill-gotten gains and have done him no good. Mayahanile, Ram Mahusei, what did he gain from his forgery? And they say, the chami chami, or the loy chami loy chami. It's once in 70 years, and whoever sees it, 7 years is the lifetime of a person. If you see it now, you're not going to see it again. In other words, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Take hold. So Chazal give us here a Havana. They give us an understanding of the sense of Malchus Reimi at its high point, putting Chayefel down. This is the Yom Eid. This is the Yom of celebration of Rome of a Chayefel. And the Nekuda is Yaakov is the Ish Emes. We proclaim ourselves that the reason why we believe what we believe and we think what we think is because we're Emes. Emes is the our understanding of Simos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emes is Yaakov's Mida. This is what we are and this is what we're about. And they come and they throw us at our face and say, you are liars. I show you. And the reason why it's once in 70 years, because a person can always say, well, it'll be better later, it's leading up to something good, you have to see the whole picture. 70 years is the entire picture. 70 years is the entire picture. That's all a person can ever see is 70 years. And they say, once in 70 years, in other words, in the entire 70 years, Yaakov Avinu is downtrodden, and Esav's on top, and he's Shelet, and he's the Malchus. Don't you see the lie? There's nothing more pregea. In other words, if we're convinced and we have our conviction of emes, then the fine. If a person has a conviction that his emes is right, nisyonos are outside battles, and possibly he could withstand, he can't withstand it, but he doesn't collapse from inside. But if a person is thrown back in his face, and he's shown, listen, you're telling me, let's look at the facts. Well, the facts are, 7 years is the full scope of life. When Chazal want to say something that happens rarely, once in 7 years, it says, the Sanhedrin that tells also 7 years, and once in 7 years, they pick up the extra tayrus mishraim, if it was the wine would congeal. Once in 7 years is the scope of a human life, but there's nothing bigger than that. And take a look, in all of the 7 years, the first korban lasted 7 years because it needed to clear out an entire, the full scope of cleaning up Beis HaMikdash for 7 years. And 7 years of korban brought back the next Beis HaMikdash. So every 70 years, Malchus only trots out the apparent emes and throws it in our face and says, no, but if you're honest and if you claim to be emes, where are you? And it's a terrible, terrible thing they made. I was looking at, there's somebody put together diaries and chronicles of people who lived through the Spanish Inquisition. So he has Jews, he has Goyim, and priests, and so on, all sorts of people. And one of them that particularly caught my attention was a chronicle of one of the, he was actually the secretary, the chaplain of Demo, who took over from Torquemito, who was the first inquisitor. He took over from him. And he writes about the Jews and the Xeric from his perspective. And he said the Jews were misled by their rabbis, who told them that they were going to leave Spain, they're going to pass Nisimus laws like Kriyas Yamsuf, and they compared it to going out of Mitzrayim. And then they boarded ships and had to pay a tremendous amount of money to the Portuguese king to keep them there for half a year. And they went on in boats, and the ship captain fooled them. Instead of taking them somewhere safe, they dropped them off somewhere in Africa. And the Arabs stripped them there, literally killed people, cut them open to see where the diamonds are. Horrendous. And he writes about it. He said he can't even write how terrible things were. And they finally straggled back into Spain, recognizing how they'd been misled, and the emes, you know, that they'd been so stubborn and refusing, and he was waiting with open arms to embrace them, even though they both refused him, and so on and so forth. A whole megillah of quote-unquote emes. Look at it, take a look. I mean, where was Yeshua, where was the Gula, where was your God? Take a look at you, finally, was it worth all those years of your sheker, my son, to this? And it's a terrible, terrible, it's one thing when we're sitting 500 years later and reading it, it still strikes. But the Shashi Maisa, if you're there, and you're living it, there's nothing, no front, no back. Spain was Jewry, and they were completely killed out. Somebody in the Nazi camps, when everything is going down, and the Nazis have knew, where's your God? If you believe in emes, well, where's the emes? Where is it then? Another one who voiced a similar, almost a similar including the Kuzari. Kuzari says, he was explaining to the king magnificently about the Jewish religion and on and on and on and on, and the Karbanis and the Mishkan and the Samikdash, and how the Karbanis and the Samikdash and the Mishkan were all the heart and the soul of fire throw. And he says to him, one second, so we're not talking about the same thing. He said, you have nothing. No Samikdash, no Karbanis, no Mishkan, no Mishkapagazis, no Sarkhedrin, no Levim. You have nothing. So what are we talking about? You're a dead corpse. You're telling me a hashtag on yourself. You're not telling me a reason to embrace Judaism. You're telling me what you're not. And it says, and Chava tells him, the Yudal Levi tells him, the situation is even worse than you think it is. We're not even a complete body, we're still alone. And you find it constantly in the Kinnis. The Fletcher's Menaetzes, a monster that speaks harshly against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the worst part of it all is not the suffering, but the fact that the suffering seems to give lie to the fact that we're Klal Yisrael, we're chosen, we're anything. I once saw a present-day anti-Semite threw out to the Jews that he said, no, why don't you ask yourself, why is it that every single country you ever lived in threw you out? You have the evidence and everybody else is separate. You've been thrown and expelled and persecuted and murdered in every single country that you were. Doesn't that say something? I mean, you're the right, everybody else is wrong. I mean, we live sometimes with our heads buried in sand. And God Hashem, there's a yeshiva, there's a kolel, there's a nivaman, another nivaman, three in the light, five in the light, big yeshiva, 1,000 people. There are 2.1 billion people who say Yeshu is what they believe in. There are 1 billion people in the world that when the Pope becomes Pope, they say Yamela. 1 billion people. He's considered a king, he's considered to be part of the world leadership, their makom is a mecca for people to come. 1.3 or 4 billion people are Muslims and believe in Islam. And we are 30 million, that's charitable now. I'll be dinner, probably a lot less than that. And so be honest, be real, where, why? And it's not 70 years, it's 2,000 years. 2 millennium, 2,000 years, and still oppressed, still despicable, still thrown about. I mean, with living in America, it's a bubble of a few years that we've had it good. 70, 80 years ago, it was somewhat oppressive, and in history, it's a small bubble. If we look around, we would hear it, and we would see that young Eve of Rome taking somebody and passing them through and saying, Shkaras I tana, it's a lie. Everything around you for 2,000 years became a lie. It's a very, very, very hard, it's a hard saying. There's one piece in Chazal. Chazal gives us an akama with one line. And there's a line that says, after the people, Mesayimim v'hachi, and they end with one line, that whole parade. V'vai l'dein tadyokam dein. Woe unto the one on top when the one on the bottom picks himself up. There's an understanding. Adarabha, why is it that Rome, in all its might, couldn't tolerate a smidgen of a country being different? Why can't Christianity of 2.1 billion people not tolerate 10 million people who are different? The Jews, there are plenty of other pagans around them. Okay, it's only one. Why is everything, why are they so preoccupied? Why can't 1.3 billion Arabs, Muslims, tolerate a few million Jews? Why? What's the problem? It's irrelevant. It's relegated to an old adage. The terrace is because every person senses that violet deen kadyokum deen, that there is an emes in Kleisel that's latent, and when it will blossom, everything else will come down. And that's why they need to destroy it. That's why they can't live without destroying it. There's a nice one, Tepanah Vajirov, was in New York, and he was invited to speak at a forum that was an extremely secular forum, like a press club, a Jewish press club, with famous Jewish writers and thinkers, and they invited him to speak about the beauty of yeshivas or something along those lines. And he got up and he spoke. Pandu's Rebbe was an extremely wise, very warm person. And he said, Rabbi, when I got the invitation, I was wondering why I'm invited to speak. We've always been at loggerheads. What they represent, what Jewish and I represent are ideological loggerheads. And why such a kind invitation to speak so positively about the yeshivas and so on? And then I realized that no matter how bitter of opposition you have with someone, when somebody dies, you always speak kindly and remember nice things about them. So I understand you feel yeshivas are gone, was after the war, during the war, and you have no problem reminiscing about the beauties of yeshivas that were and so on and so forth, the glory it was. I want to tell you about by saying the invitation was a mistake. We're alive and kicking, and we will someday come out again. The reason why the Mas'olim, why it is because somewhere along the line it bothers them that somebody is still not nifna. The whole Zainena Shavali. The whole Zainena Shavali is because that's the one Nakuda that's still alive from which Emes can come again. And Adarav, that is something that brings it, that tells us that we are right. Kuzari says it, the Tshuva, Kuzari says it to him in his words. He says, when he tells him that, first of all, you're right, in no way we're dispersed and so on and so forth. But he says, Ulo melech hakuzim, hatsomes ha-hemas and ishtayeven varma miteva balachayim. If you have a bone, and today we understand it so well, if you have one cell that still is living, that still has the DNA material in it, if you have one cell left over from a living entity that housed once upon a time the seichel and the leiv and the nefesh, you take a kid and you show him a beautiful statue of a human being, very, very lifelike. And then you show him a little test tube with one cell in it. And you ask him, which is more similar to a human being? Then his answer will be, of course, the statue. But somebody who's a Vardas knows the statue is, all it is a superficial semblance to a being. The cell is not yet the being, but it carries in itself the life force needed to become that being. And that's why they have temples, and they have officials, and they have a kingdom. And it's all magnificent. But it's a statue. It's a dead statue. And what we have is, it doesn't look like anything, but it carries in itself the living entity, that life force that can become something. He adds another Nakuda. He says, no Navi ever spoke there. No Shechina ever came down. No Kedusha was ever present in those places. And he adds a second Nakuda. And he says, but nothing bad ever happened to them. He says, when they stopped doing anything, he says, ah, when they did sin, no fire destroyed them. Nothing ever happened to them that could be interpreted as a punishment. He said their history is as natural as it comes. If you read through the histories of Ummus Olam, they all follow a very clear pattern, very scientific pattern. Young dynamic, a group of people get together, fight strongly, conquer old decadence, the monarchy, take over, very ambitious, conquer a lot of other countries, start becoming lazy and fat themselves, intimacy, fighting, badly dispirited army, young dynamic country comes and kills them. Put in Rome, put in Athens, put in Constantinople, put in anything fits it. Exactly. Same thing. It's a historical pattern that follows certain laws of nature. That's the history of Mosaic. Chloe Israel is sitting in Germany. They're successful. They're integrated. Everything is wonderful. And boom. Concentration camps. Chloe Israel is in Spain. Everything is wonderful and fine. Concentration camps. Going out, they're terrible. There's so much that went on there. So much different, cruel, sort of, and so on and so forth. The history of conflict is unnatural in its urban as well. This girl once said, Shifta ho mishan to hahemi and achmuni. Sheva is a stick that you hit someone with, and mishan is a stick you lean on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforts Chayisrael both in the Mishenis and both in the Sheva. Because if it were a natural disintegration, then we're no bigger than heaven, no bigger than nature. It's when our tzaras are so unnatural, when they're so, when we have to attribute them, when they like to not, to something else, it becomes a comfort that we have a Keshavas problem, because you see that something is alongside us. It's not natural whether the toyev or the mutar. I always say someone once wrote to the Breslova that he has terrible, terrible tzaras, and the worst part of it is it's totally ununderstandable. You just can't understand it. And he wrote back to him, you know, he said, if you'd be able to understand it, you'd only have the tzaras. Now that you can't understand it, you have a kaddish problem. Where mind boggles and can't understand it, can't grasp it, that's where we see that kaddish problem. It's a ferocious way to see that problem. It's a terrible way to see that problem. But in the shevet as well as in the sense. So the hurdle and the dullness that comes with it, besides the personal fire that starts everything from the outside, carries in itself a tremendously crushing test of the Muna, because the Goyim spit it in our face, and they parade in front of us and say, it's a shkara zaytana. Take a look, where that shkara? Read all the wonderful things about Christ. Well, where is it? Where are you? Nothing. And every year that goes by intensifies. 2,000 years is the kufa of Rakaya. I mean, it's the biggest kufa in the world. I want to add one more nekuda to this. It says once in 70 years, they parade out, they have this macabre parade, and to throw it down our face. Two things about that parade. The first of all is the kuzari's nekuda is exactly described by Chazal. They take Rabbi Shmuel's face and they put it on. It's a mess. The guy has no tefisa that Rabbi Shmuel is what's inside, not what's outside. To him, Rabbi Shmuel looked extremely magnificent. So it's the face, it's the nose, it's the eyes, it's the beard. That's it. And if you have it, you have it. That was raining. Rain was cold, cool. It had no content, and it had everything in the world except for content. It was all dress. Everything was, there's no face investment at all. So taking the mask of Rabbi Shmuel gave him the magnificent Beis HaMikdash. We also have a claim gobbler. Zach Rabbi Shmuel, take a look. Look, Zach Rabbi Shmuel looks like. That's the piece of training. That's what the Kuzari says. A cold stone temple. Not understanding that it's the Shechina and not the stone, not the temple. There's one more Nekuda in that Chazal. Let's get back to this later on. It says once in 70 years. And 70 years is the highest scope of a person. Nara Yisi Gamsa Kanti covers 70 years. And there's nothing there. What they don't understand is that Klal Yisrael has a certain meter that goes over 70 years. And that's called, 70 years is a door. There's a chazal. in the Chazal say, the Mishnah says it in one lashon, and I've seen it quoted officially differently. Chazal say what's called Neimus HaMechazdim. The halacha is about being prayed with a mayim, and it has to be water that is that's constant. And if it dries out, a river or creek that dries out once in 7 years, it says Tam B'Shavua, once in 7 years, it's called a falls. It's called Neimus HaMechazdim, it's Sheker. The Chuzarim brings in two or three places, it's quoted from him, 7 years. I'm not sure, he had a Gersah Shivim, I'm not sure, but upon him, 70 years should be the test of truth, because that's an entire span of lifetime. If it never happened in my lifetime, it's not there. Klal Yisrael has some one Nekudah is different. It says, Dur L'Dur. Klal Yisrael's Kodma is from generation to generation. L'Dur L'Dur Nagid G'Dlecha. Klal Yisrael exists from door to door. It's extraordinary. When the Jews were expelled from Spain, and this guy writes about how so clearly his Amun has been proven. Forget about the fact that he was the one who actually did it. But other than that, forget the fact that he was the Rechayat that used his status Caleb. But let's forget about it a second. Two things happened in that same Tufa. One was G'dayi Yisrael were expelled. They ended up in Eretz Yisrael eventually. And Klal Yisrael's greatest Tukufas Apayra possibly, of the Beisheshev, Narizal, and the Ramak, the Klal Yisrael's Halacha, the Nigla and Nisla Apayra that we have today, is built on the Shulchan Aruch and Narizal, which was made in that Tukufa as a result of the Spanish expulsion. And a ship, the money that they took from, that they stole from the Jews, they outfitted a group of ships to come, discovered America, and built up something which 500 years later would be a mockery where Klal Yisrael was able to flourish in a way that never flourished before. A guy's sight is limited to his lifetime, and that's it. There's no sense even of my son will continue. That sense of that I'm only another brick in a layer of bears doesn't exist. Also, the music of Dur L'Dur, the music of HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David, you wanted to go to HaMikdash, Shlomo Bincha is going to build it. That's the fulfillment of your dreams of Shlomo, that's Klal Yisrael. And the Mela in Klal Yisrael, the Umas HaYilam are limited to what they are, who they are. And in that world, every 70 years, they're right. Klal Yisrael lives from Dur to Dur to Dur. And what was crushed in Rome and in Spain and Eastern Europe and Khmelnytsky and every single era in England and France and every single era rolls out later. It's the same hemshah, the realization of the Nekuda. Since we're not talking about the Fitzayim, we're not talking about the Eishah Avonim, we're talking about the Kerech Achilles. So the male of Klal Yisrael sees it differently. In their eyes, something that didn't happen in 70 years is not going to happen. In our sense, there's going to be someone else, and that's going to come and do it. So when we look at it, and in a sense, and anybody who has a sensitive nefesh and is out there somewhere and opens his eyes, is devastated by understanding where we are and where they are. And a person realizes at some point that itself launched the Nechama. First of all, that the reason why is it so important to them that we're different? Why does it bother them? And the answer is, like Shaul told David, that as long as Ben Yisha is chai, l'tikot malchusko, you can't, if the people that gave birth to your God said that he was a chakra, if they're made on him, then your religion is worthless. And as long as they're there, they're going to rise and take over. The tremendous enmity comes from the fear that Vaila Haika Yokum has. And secondly, the understanding that everything they did was just chutz. Everything magnificent. Yes, art. You want to know art? Go to the Hecholos. Music. so much music owes to their echolos, so much architecture, so much everything, except for place. And its magnificent palaces that are empty and devoid of an astral sphere. And in our Dalit al-Dalit, in a little basement somewhere, where people sit and learn, and people with emes, people sit and daven with emes, there's teichen and there's tiyus. It's a little basement somewhere, it's a little basement with a handful of people, but there's something living there. And something living will grow. Something dead is mummified. It's nothing to it. And lastly, an Akum looks at things from three dimensions. That's it. We look at it from der le der. Whatever it is, nothing that he did. I'm always astounded by it. We look at these Ashkafas. Rabbi Chana Wasserman had a yeshiva in Europe that was, in a sense, the service of all yeshivas, because it was kind of a high school yeshiva. And this is where everybody went to first, and then they went on to the other bigger yeshivas, the old yeshivas. And the last years in Europe were horrendous. He was stuck in America for a year fundraising. For a year. And fundraising did not go easy. And he saw the war coming, and he made a decision to go back, and he was killed together with his yeshiva. The year that he was in America, he was mashpia on a whole group of people who later on became lay leaders, a sense of Torah and Yiddish head. And it was him. And when you look back now, you see the hashkafa, that he left the sinking ship knowing that it's going down. You could see it. And stuck for a year in America, which was something that was very difficult for him, and going back and singing with it. But that year was when he accomplished things that would later become the infrastructure of Torah and Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael has a much deeper look. Once in 70 years, it's the cook of a guy, because a guy only sees from his birth and his death. He doesn't have children. Their children do what they want to do, and their children do what they want to do. There's no sense of dirly, dirty sabah, myself. There's nothing. Klal Yisrael lives dirly, dirty, nagi, dirlecha, meitzak, nitzok, nitzok, nitzok. As long as we understand that what we do, its final input, its final accomplishment will lie with the Dorah, the Dorah will do. And we don't look at ourselves as ourselves, Kaisel, as a Sheikh Kaim and Ziman, then we will be there to the very day of the government. Let's start with first, the fields are not easy, but the college, 20 of the year, kiddush are written. When a person speaks from regish, he doesn't speak froth, he doesn't say things the seriousness that a person needs to express things in a way that is that expresses some of the regish. Most of the kinnis, the beginning of the kinnis, were written by Rabbi Eliezer Kalia. Rabbi Eliezer Kalia was the master type of Klal Yisrael. He had tremendous amounts of chachma. His piyutim are all a weaving of chazal and sukim in a way that becomes a poetic. But everything he says is not his. It's chazal and sukim. They are very there are a lot of mepharshim that spend their time looking at all of the people, trying to explain where the medrash comes out. But there's something about the Rabbi Eliezer Kalia that is, you say, Dosei Kodesh, his feelings, when he needs to express his feelings, even when he's expressing his feelings just with regish, the words that he comes to his mouth, his vocabulary of Chazal, to him, that's one thing that makes it extremely Pashut. You see, the Rishonim's yachas to him is that they take his words and learn it off as long with a Talmud Chacham and halachas and so on, because he has the stature of a gadol. The first third or so of the kinnis are his We just want to explain why a lot of them go with the crashes, with our stages and so on. But as a problem, we'll try to take the Nakudavit one, some point to focus on. It's hard, there's no way to describe the entire thing in one word, because, like we said, it's expressions of vagus and feeling. And the first one is called Sabasuru. Yes, there's a piece over here that says, Osa v'nicha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Churban, v'nicha and kaviyachol had karata, by Yikro l'tchia, and he called out to crying, v'num al elani v'tchia, and he himself said, I cry on you. It says, "Boyse shoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, boyte voima, boyli ma'asisi." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Warn to me what I've done." His race is still a lamata b'shul Yisrael, ba'afshav shechotu chazakim kaimi. I brought my shina down to this world for Klal Yisrael, and now the Karsal shin is gone. His chosuv, and it says, "Vayikra shemakim tzvokim v'yem avu." HaKadosh Baruch Hu called for the chi u'mishkid u'parcha v'tigos tak. So that's called by Yikrul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Chia. I want to try to explain what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu called for crying. What does it mean you call for crying? You can't provoke a regish. It also says by HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's a meter called Chia. It says the Mistarim Tifke Nashi. There's a certain Hanhaga by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's called Chia. And so we have to understand a certain meaning of what does it mean, this Hanhaga called the Chia? It says, Ro v'nicham, v'shvob v'kaviyach ha'tarotas, kara l'chia. When a person's reaction to something bad that happened is one of two ways. A person can have tikva. A person can hope that it'll become better, it'll improve, person's not well, it'll improve, person's situation's not well, or a person can say it's gone. Bechi is the emotion on things that have gone. When a person has a nifta, as long as a person's very sick, but there's still hope, a person doesn't cry, a person is in a different mode. When it's cut and it's finished, that's when the chia comes in. The first reaction is slation of Bechi, then there's nispa. Chia is the koyach, it's the hanhaga of the recognition that something is gone and it will not continue as was. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was machad v'shamikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us this Hanhaga is final. The Beis HaMikdash has been charev and it's over. Whatever's going to happen again is not going to be a hemshich. Klal Yisrael will have to rebuild itself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu called this a day of Bechi. The Chur Beis HaMikdash has a finality of what was. It's not going to become fixed anymore. And on the one hand, the Sinai Mesnefesh is much stronger. When a person sees a nifkal in front of those are the moments of Bechi. But the only way a person can stop is if there's Bechi. So the Nahoga of Bechi and Nicham by HaKadosh Baruch Hu means we can't look anymore to continue what was. And the Mela is the Tsar of Treda and Misa. It's gone, it's not coming back again. But there's a mocha for Nechama to be challenged because if the person understands that it's gone, if a person's done wrong, the person tries to get out of a tight situation. So he fights and fights and struggles and tries to get out of it. When you tell him in a very fine way it's over, there's a tremendous burst of tsar because he has to come to grips with the loss, whatever it is. But then there's a place to build again. And the Mela, the hug of Bechi and Nichum by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like this complete finishing the old Hanhaga, but it allows to start the new Hanhaga.